In a few days' time, Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium, the University Symphony Orchestra will play its first concert of the new year with a very special guest, a distinguished alumnus named Alex Jacopi. And he's here in the studio with me, along with the director of the University Symphony Orchestra, one of my all-time favorite guests, Bruce Uchimura, here to talk about the music for Sunday's concert. Thank you both for being here today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Well, Alex, since you're the fresh face here, let's start with you. Would you give us an overview of your life as a musician? I know you came to Western Michigan University about the same time I was here, early 1990s, and you were a trumpet player.
I was. I was a music education major. I'm originally from Escanaba, Michigan, and I arrived at Western because as I searched out the various music ed schools in Michigan, it seemed to be the best fit for me, so that's how I landed here.
And before that, you growing up in a small town up in the UP, was there a musical culture that kind of fed you up there?
Well, the band program in the Escanaba Public Schools was a really strong program. And, you know, as I went through school, it seemed like music was the part that I liked the best. I mean, I was a fairly good student because both of my parents were teachers, so there really wasn't any choice to not be a decent student. But when it came time to choose a major for college, I was like, you know, I really like music the best. And I intended to be a public school teacher when I first got to Western.
As I was listening to you and Bruce chat before we went on, I think I heard you say that you came from a first-generation Finnish family?
Yeah, my father is first-generation Finnish. Both of his parents are from Finland. My mom's side of the family is, you know, goes back to the Mayflower days in the United States. But yeah, I'm half Finnish.
Oh, that's neat. Strong culture up there.
Absolutely.
In the UP.
Yep.
And stranger things have happened. There's a concerto on the program that you are performing by a Finnish composer, as it turns out. Yeah.
Yeah, and that really doesn't have as much to do with my Finnish heritage as it has to do with the composer Jaakko Kuusisto and me connecting when he came to Buffalo several years ago to have his violin concerto performed.
Well, let's hear about how you got to Buffalo.
I got to Buffalo via New York City and Charleston, South Carolina. When I left Western, I went to graduate school at Juilliard in New York, did a master's degree and about half of a doctor's degree or a DMA, and was fortunate enough to win the principal trumpet job in Charleston, South Carolina. And shortly thereafter, I was fortunate enough to be offered the position of the principal trumpet in the Buffalo Philharmonic. So that's how I got there, and I'm still there 19 years later.
Did something, well, something must have changed from the time you enrolled at Western planning to study education, music education, and a few years in when you start gunning for Juilliard.
Yeah, I would say the big, I wouldn't call it a conversion necessarily, but my focus changed when I had the opportunity to go to Helsinki and study at the Sibelius Academy. Western had, I don't know that it still happens, but for a short time there was an exchange program with the Sibelius Academy, and I was the first one to go. And I didn't really know what I was getting into, but my teacher at Western at the time, Dr. Jones, basically said, "You're going." And the reason for that was the wall had just come down in Russia, and a very famous Russian trumpet teacher, I think, basically looked for the closest non-communist place to get out, and he went to Helsinki, and his name is Timofey Dokshitzer. He's gone now, but he, you know, was pretty much on par with Maurice Andre and the really iconic, you know, like mid to late 20th century trumpet players.
That wrote the book on style and
and
technique.
Absolutely iconic. And Dr. Jones saw the opportunity for me to be able to study with him. And that's why I went to Finland. And it was a very different experience in that I was going from, an American university, kind of an all-American type of university, to a true European conservatory setting. And there was a bit of culture shock there, but once I got into that type of training, I was like, yeah, I want to explore this further. So that kind of led me to audition for grad programs in the conservatories in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to get into Juilliard.
Well, when did you become principal trumpet of the Buffalo Philharmonic?
1998.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little about the Buffalo Philharmonic's position among American orchestras. I know it through recordings and by its famous conductor, Joanne Faletta. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if she's still
current. Yeah, she is. Actually, Joanne and I started at the same time, so she's in her 19th year, too. She wasn't the one that hired me, but through some contract logistics, I didn't start for a year after I got technically hired. But I would say the Buffalo Philharmonic right now is probably mostly known for recording and many broadcasts on Performance Today or whatever the new American...
Public media
is, and I would say we're probably one of the most recorded orchestras currently. We tend to record late romantic repertoire that's a little bit underrepresented. You know, I would say that's our current niche. Joanne is a master at finding that kind of music for us to record and
filling in all the gaps between the three B's.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And actually, as shameless plug, the orchestra is going to Europe next month, and it'll be the first European tour for the BPO since the 1980s.
Now, the Buffalo regionally, how does it support an orchestra of that stature? I mean, it seems like the Buffalo Philharmonic is punching way out of its weight class in some ways.
You know, the community is extraordinarily supportive of the orchestra, and I can say in the time that I've been there, it's consistently got better every year. If there's one really great thing about Buffalo is that it's a kind of a giant family, and loyalty is deep and true there, and people really support I don't want to say the BPO is an icon of the community, but people support pillars of the community, whether it's the sports teams. Mm-hmm. The art museum in Buffalo is a very famous modern art museum, the Albright Knox, and the BPO, and people are amazingly supportive. So I think we have a bigger orchestra than the size of the town would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That is... worth so much to be in a musical position that isn't always embroiled every year with a huge financial crisis or a turnover of lots of musicians and music directors and things like that. You've been fortunate to hold a stable position there.
Yeah, I think it has gotten increasingly stable in the time that I've been there. If you talk to people who have been there before me, The 90s, the late 80s and early 90s were probably some pretty turbulent times, and the orchestra faced some tough positions. But with Joanne's arrival and some key board members and improving artistic product, you know, things have just gotten stronger and stronger.
My guest is Alex Jacopi, a former Western Michigan University music student who is currently the principal trumpet of the Buffalo Philharmonic and a music professor at the State University of New York, Fredonia. Bruce Uchimura is the director of the University Symphony Orchestra, and the concert begins Sunday at 3 o'clock, free as always, in Miller Auditorium. Bruce, would you outline the program for
Sunday? It's going to be good.
Could you give us a little more?
We start with Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's iconic Russian Easter Overture, which is a fascinating piece using Russian Orthodox chants and sort of seeing the difference between the very solemn, that part of it, and the big celebration of Easter. So you have those two types of moods represented in that overture. So it's quite interesting. Big trombone solos.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Kuzisto Trumpet Concerto with Alex, which is also, I really, after spending many hours studying the thing, I've grown to really, it's a very attractive piece. I think the audience is really going to like it. Very hard for Alex, but it's and the orchestra, but it's very attractive piece. Intermission, Inastera, Belter Inastera's Estancia Suite, and then finally George Gershwin's American in Paris.
Well, I think we'll take a quick musical break here. Well, maybe not so quick, because the Russian Easter Overture is well worth hearing at least halfway through. This is a recording I have here by Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Oh. I think I pulled that out because your friend
Jun Qing
Lin is one of the principal concertmasters of that group. It's the Atlanta Symphony with Robert Spano. And here's the Russian Easter Overture by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. And, of course, Alex Jacopi and Bruce Uchimura will be back after this break to tell us more about Sunday's concert. It begins at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. Well, we heard it all the way to the triumphant conclusion. That's music of Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, his Russian Easter Overture.
Wasn't that exhilarating?
It was fantastic. Couldn't stop it in the middle. So many great moments that just kept connecting to other fantastic melodies and tunes and climaxes. Well, if you tuned in during the music, I would like to reintroduce my guests, the director of the University Symphony Orchestra, Bruce Uchimura, who will be conducting that work on Sunday, and guest trumpeter Alex Jacopi, who is returning to Western, an alum and current principal trumpeter of the Buffalo Philharmonic. And Alex, you will be performing a work second on the program right after this Easter Overture that is so new I was unable to find any recorded instances of being played.
There are no recordings of the piece because it was premiered in this past November in Marquette, Michigan. But there will be a recording of it because I will be recording this concerto with the Buffalo Philharmonic in May. Who knows when that'll get released, but there will be a reference at some point in the near future.
And you will be the soloist.
I will.
Tell me who Jaakko Kuusisto is.
Jaakko Kuusisto is a Finnish violinist, conductor, and composer. I want to say he's the music director of the Lahti Symphony in Finland. I think he has recently been appointed another music directorship, but don't ask me exactly where.
How old would you say he is?
Jaakko is a couple years younger than me, so he's in his mid-40s. So we're roughly the same age, and he's definitely, I wouldn't call him up and coming anymore. He's a pretty known composer now at this point.
So he's written symphonies, concertos, works, many other works for orchestra, solo pieces.
Various smaller orchestral pieces, no symphonies to this point, but I think he's probably best known for his violin concerto, which is a really fabulous piece.
Now, what is special about this trumpet concerto? What can you give us a preview of the style, the emotional content, the difficulty?
Well, first I would say it's about 20 minutes long, and that is almost unheard of for a trumpet concerto. Mm-hmm. So you know, the challenges that you might expect that go into that in and of itself, the scope of the piece are very real. That being said, it doesn't seem overly long. You know, the way the piece is composed and constructed is very tight thematically. Mm-hmm. The development of the motives continues through all three movements. And maybe not in a first hearing you would get that, you know, obviously, but it seems very logical and tight the way that the piece is put together. It's in, like I said, in three movements. The first two go without pause, and then the third movement is a standalone thing. And the piece, I would say, you know, to quote what Yako has said about it, is it's cinematic in nature. So I think he's drawing some inspiration from film music a little bit. My wife, you know, in listening to me practice this over and over and over, has said, you know, there's parts of that that sound like E.T.
Wow.
And from a brass player's perspective, that's incredibly high praise, because John Williams has written some of the best music for brass ever.
Quite a few concertos, too.
Yeah. So, and that's coming from someone who has no formal musical background. So cinematic in nature is a good way to describe the piece.
Does it have a key signature?
It does. Oh, yeah. It has a key signature. It's, I wouldn't say it's tonal necessarily, but it is definitely in keys. And there's no extended technique, meaning I don't have to, you know, take a valve out and turn it sideways and do something funny with the trumpet. All of it is traditional playing. And there, you know, everything is tuneful and enjoyable.
Grab a pipe and hit the concertmaster over the head.
That's yeah, right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
My take on it, as I studied it, I agree with all of those things that Alex said, was I find the rhythmic vitality of it fascinating. Jaco is a master at the, you know, the old juxtaposition of three and two, duple and triple meters, and he's combined it, you know, in kind of, you know, how Brahms, if you analyze Brahms a great deal, you know, there are always these relationships, and I think Jaco has a real great musical rhythmic sense for the 2 meters and the rhythms that accompany them. So,
when it's new music like this, is it different from putting other more familiar works in front of your students, or are they still young enough that, well, at least half of the music is brand new to them?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think so. I don't think there's any different approach from something that they know. It's just that they have access to something. I did send them all the MP3 of so that they would have an idea of what to expect. But mm-hmm. they all told me, by the way, I forgot to tell Alex this, after the rehearsal, they said, gosh, it's a lot different with the solo there. Because, you know, otherwise they're just counting and playing, which is basically what we have to do for Alex. Alex has all the difficult things, you know, the solo trumpet things. Mm-hmm. They really like it, actually. You know, one of the trumpet players responded, God, it's such an attractive piece. He says it's so Finnish, you know, like with this ostinato and so forth and so on. But I definitely agree. I hear Williams mm-hmm. and movie stuff, and it's very attractive. There's nothing like hard to listen to in this piece, you know.
And it's very exciting that this is its second public performance, and it's part of the centuries-old tradition of new pieces being introduced.
That's right.
And you get to be part of the consensus that determines whether the piece comes back again mm-hmm. Regularly or rarely by your response. And, of course, by Alex and the orchestra doing their jobs well. You are looking forward to advocating for this piece numerous times, I guess, this season.
Yeah, we have another performance of it in April in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'll be playing with the Fayetteville Symphony and the Buffalo Philharmonic's associate conductor, Stefan Sanders. And then in May in Buffalo with music director Joanne Folletta. So, I mean, my biggest hope is that this piece finds its way into the repertoire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance being a soloist and traveling and finding other orchestras to play this work with, say, and your full-time principal position?
It's a challenge, to say the least. A lot of advanced planning goes into this. I mean, I've known the dates of these concerto performances for a couple of years, and you have to look at those dates against the Buffalo Philharmonic schedule. Obviously, I can't be gone on a week that we're playing Mahler 5 or pictures at an exhibition. I'm very fortunate that our music director, Joanne Folletta, is supportive of these kind of endeavors, and you know, she basically lets you go pursue them.
Yeah.
But it is a balancing act, no doubt.
I suppose not every single concert she programs has a full brass section. She's looking at different air time periods and things like that.
Certainly. Actually, this week, the reason that this was such a good week is that the string portion of the Buffalo Philharmonic is playing Brandenburg Third Concerto and a Dvorak serenade. And then I think on Sunday there's a family concert that has the full orchestra. But so I really wasn't needed much this week anyway, which is it's very fortunate.
My guest is Alex Jacoby, principal of the Buffalo Philharmonic, and Bruce Uchimura, who directs the University Symphony Orchestra. Let's recap the program again, starting the Rimsky-Korsakov begins the program.
Russian Easter Overture, the Kuzisto Trumpet Concerto with Alex Jacoby, soloist. Inastera Estancia Ballet Suite for very attractive movements, and ending with Gershwin's American in Paris.
And it's all Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, Miller Auditorium. Free. Free concert.
Lots of parking.
Lots of parking. Free parking.
More information is online at the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events. Well, we're going to wrap up here with one of everyone's favorite pieces, An American in Paris by George Gershwin, which is on the program. And I seem to recall has a pretty prominent trumpet part to it.
It certainly does.
Are you just going to be enjoying that as a listener, Alex, or are you sitting in?
Nope, I'm going to be listening away, and you know, that's quite refreshing. Normally when I see that piece on the program, I'm like, okay, you know, my seat heats up a little bit, but it'll be fun to hear someone else do it for a change.
I have to ask you just to give me your thoughts on being a longtime orchestra player, having seen so much music on your stand, having seen pieces come back over and over, what is that like as a profession? I mean, music as a profession, that's wonderful.
Well, you know, you mentioned standards of the repertoire coming back again and again, and the great thing about that, the blessing part of it, is that you feel more comfortable playing those pieces every time they come back. So you are afforded a degree of musical freedom that allows you to kind of explore the expressive possibilities in your limited role in the entire context, because you're more aware of your surroundings, what's happening in the other parts, you know, better. And so that's a great blessing of seeing the standard repertoire come back and back and back. The curse of it is you don't want it to get stale. You know, that's the challenge, to keep it fresh. So to be perfectly honest about it, you know, we go week to week. You look what's coming up next week. You do your listening, and you listening is probably the most important piece to the preparation equation at this point for me. And you work out the nasty bits in any particular piece, and you go to work and put it all together.
Well, Alex Jacoby and Bruce Uchimura, thanks for coming in to talk about Sunday's concert. It's been great to have you here.
Thank you.
Well, thanks.
Let's listen to an historic recording, Leonard Bernstein in 1949, conducting a group called the RCA Symphony Orchestra, and we'll hear An American in Paris.